All right, welcome back. You all wanted a deep dive on cybersecurity concerns lately. Well, we heard you. Got a whole stack of reports here, tons of stuff on major cyber attacks and how the government's trying to keep up with all this.
And it's really hitting at the right time. I mean, cybersecurity, it's changing so fast. Gets more complex every single day, it feels like. It's super important, for everybody to try to understand how all this stuff going on in the private sector, how that connects with what the government's doing about it. We gotta get a handle on that.
I totally agree. All right, so let's jump right into this. I guess we got to start with ransomware, right? Big problem, and it's getting worse. One report here, it says there's been a 32% increase in attacks just this past year. And get this, these attacks are specifically going after utility companies.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, think about it, utilities. We're talking energy, water, like essential stuff. So when those get hit, it's not just a technical problem, it's a huge problem for everyone.
For sure. And it's not just random, you know? These attackers, they're strategic. They know utilities are under pressure to get those services back up and running ASD, which makes them more likely to pay the ransom.
And it's interesting when you look at how these attacks are actually happening. Turns out a huge number of them, like 81%, are using something called spear phishing.
Spear phishing, yeah. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, that's where these attackers, they trick people into clicking on bad links or opening infected files, stuff like that, usually through emails that look totally legit. So it's a reminder, right? Cybersecurity isn't just about the tech side of things. The human element, that's a big part of it too.
You hit the nail on the head. Even in places like utilities, very technical environments, you're always going to have that human factor, and it's a weak point that attackers love to exploit. They prey on our trust, and our tendency to make mistakes, especially when we're busy or stressed. And there's one group in particular, they call themselves Play. They're really taking advantage of this. Their attacks, specifically on utilities, they've gone up, get this, 233% in the same period.
Whoa, 233%. That's a massive jump. It makes you wonder why are they so focused on utilities right now? Is it just opportunity or is something else going on?
Well, that's a great question. I think it leads us to a really fascinating part of this whole ransomware world, and that's the rise of what they call RAAS, ransomware as a service. It's a business model, criminal business model, where you've got these developers, they create the ransomware tools, the software, and then they lease it out to other criminals. So you don't need to be some super tech genius to launch a really sophisticated attack anymore. And this is where Play gets interesting. See, recently there's been a big shakeup in this RAAS world. One of the biggest players, ALPHV, also known as Black Cat, they got taken down. And another major one, Lockbit, they seem to be weakening. So there's this kind of power vacuum opening up, and Play, well, they seem to be going all in trying to fill that gap, and be the new top dog.
It's not just about one group, right? It's about this whole ecosystem, how they compete, how they adapt, how they change when law enforcement goes after them. It's like a whole underground economy. And that kind of brings it to another story that really caught my attention, this attack on Deloitte.
That was a big one. Ransomware group called BrainCypher was behind that. These guys, they're a real concern. Known for hitting big targets, critical infrastructure, not afraid to go after the big fish.
Exactly. And in this case, they're claiming they stole, get this, a terabyte of data from Deloitte. A terabyte. I mean, that's a massive amount of information. And we got to remember, these guys, BrainCypher, they have a history. They were behind that attack on Indonesia's national data center, which caused huge problems for their government. And they've hit French museums too, so they're not afraid to go after cultural institutions either. But here's the thing, and this is where it gets interesting. Deloitte, they came out and downplayed the whole thing. They said it was just limited to one single client system and that it was outside of their main network.
That's interesting. You always have to remember, both sides, the companies and the ransomware groups, they both have reasons to spin the story their way. Companies, they want to minimize the damage to their reputation. They want to reassure their clients, keep everyone calm. And the attackers, well, they want to look as scary as possible. They want to build up this reputation so people are more likely to pay up. It's a whole information war going on alongside the actual cyber attack.
Yeah, it's like, who do you believe, right? It reminds me of that time when Lockbit tried to extort the Federal Reserve. Turned out the data they had wasn't even actually from the Fed itself. It was from some third-party provider they were working with.
That's a perfect example. That case just shows you how hard it is to figure out what's really going on in these situations. Attributing the attack, knowing for sure who did it can be super complex, especially when you've got all these third parties involved. And then you have the possibility of, you know, misinformation, disinformation, both sides trying to muddy the waters. So yeah, the headlines, they grab your attention, but you gotta look deeper. The full story usually takes a while to come out.
It's a good lesson for all of us, especially now, with news and social media, everything moving so fast. Speaking of needing to stay informed, let's shift gears a bit and talk about what the government's doing about all this. Looks like the FCC is stepping up, trying to put some new cybersecurity rules in place for telecom companies. This seems to be a direct response to those Salt Typhoon attacks, which were pretty scary.
Yeah, Salt Typhoon. That was a big escalation, a real wake-up call, I think, for a lot of people. What we're talking about here is Chinese government-backed hackers. They got into sensitive communications data, stuff belonging to American citizens, could be text messages, phone calls, who knows what else.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge deal, right?
Yeah.
It's not just stealing data. It's about potential blackmail, compromising operations, maybe even identifying people who are under surveillance. This is getting into like national security territory.
Absolutely. And so the FCC, they're trying to address this with these new regulations, but there's already a lot of debate about whether this is going to work.
Yeah, especially with the new administration coming in. A lot of people see them as being less interested in regulation. Some experts are saying these measures, they might not even get implemented. And even if they do, will they actually be effective?
Those are valid concerns for sure. But there's another side to this too. You got to remember, tensions with China are pretty high, especially in the cyber realm. So you might actually see some strong support for these regulations from within the administration, especially from the people who are really, really focused on China as a threat. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
It will. And there's another layer to this too, something else to think about. A lot of the smaller telecom providers, they're worried about the cost of all this. If these regulations go through, will they even have the money to actually implement these new security measures? Or will it end up hurting competition, you know, driving some of the smaller companies out of business? It's a tough situation.
Yeah, you've hit on a key point there. Implementation, that's the real test of any regulation. It can't just be about checking boxes and filling out paperwork. The telecom companies, they have to actually commit to this. They need resources. And there has to be real collaboration between the government and the industry. If that doesn't happen, these regulations, they could end up being well-intentioned, but ultimately useless.
And that's the challenge, isn't it? Finding that balance, security versus practicality, government oversight versus letting the industry innovate. We've covered a lot of ground here, from ransomware to how the government's trying to respond. One thing's for sure, cybersecurity, it's complex, it's changing fast. And staying informed, well, that's more important than ever.
Couldn't agree more. And it's not just about staying informed, it's about being proactive. Individuals, organizations, society as a whole, we got to move beyond just reacting to threats. We need to anticipate them, prevent them. That's the key.
But what does that actually look like, being proactive? How do we shift from reacting to actually getting ahead of these threats? That's what we'll dig into in the next part of our deep dive.
I think it's about, you know, recognizing that cybersecurity, it's not like a finish line you cross. It's more like a journey. You're always assessing, adapting, improving. It never really ends.
That's a good way to put it. It's not about being perfectly secure, because that's probably impossible. It's about making yourself a harder target, right? Raising the bar for the attackers and being ready to respond when something does happen.
Right.
Because it will eventually.
Right, exactly. And this proactive approach, it has to happen on multiple levels. So for individuals, it starts with, you know, the basics. Strong passwords, different passwords for every account, keep your software updated, and be careful about those suspicious emails or links, the stuff you always hear about, but it really is important.
Yeah, it's easy to get complacent, but those little things, they can make a big difference, reduce your risk a lot.
For sure. And for folks who want even more protection, a password manager, those can be amazing. They store your passwords securely, generate really complex ones for you, takes a lot of the mental load off and makes you way more secure.
That's a great point. So that's individuals, but what about bigger organizations? What does being proactive look like for them?
For organizations, it's got to be bigger than just, you know, thinking about technology. It's about a whole cybersecurity culture. Everyone in the company needs to understand security, their role in it, make it part of how they work every day.
So not just having the best firewalls and all that tech stuff, but training employees to be aware, having good policies, practicing what to do if there's an attack, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It's having layers of security, addressing both the technical side and the human side. And something people forget about a lot, those old legacy systems, older technology that might not be as secure as the newer stuff.
Oh, right. Those could be a real weak spot. Easy to forget about them as they kind of fade into the background. But the attackers, they often go after those systems because they know they might be easier to break into.
You got it. Organizations need to be proactive about finding and fixing those vulnerabilities in the old systems, whether it's upgrading, isolating them, or putting other controls in place.
It's a lot to keep track of. I can see how it could feel overwhelming, especially for organizations that don't have a lot of resources. Which kind of brings up the question of the government's role in all this. Should there be more regulations to force companies to improve their cybersecurity? That's a big debate right now. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. There are good arguments on both sides. Some people say more regulation would stifle innovation, be too much of a burden on businesses, especially small businesses. They think the free market will push companies to prioritize cybersecurity anyway to protect their reputations and keep their customers happy.
And the other side, they say the voluntary approach just isn't working, especially when it comes to protecting critical infrastructure and sensitive data. They say we need the government to step in, set clear standards, make sure people are held accountable.
Right. They say the risks of a big cyber attack on critical infrastructure are just too high to leave it to chance. And they point to things like the Salt Typhoon campaign as proof that we need a more proactive approach led by the government. It's a tough balance to find, and I think it's going to be debated for a long time.
And while they're debating, the attacks keep coming. That sense of urgency that we need to shift from reacting to being proactive, that's what really stood out to me from everything we've been talking about today.
It's absolutely essential, and it needs a group effort. We need more investment in cybersecurity research, better sharing of information about threats and vulnerabilities, and a commitment to working together across sectors. Government, industry, even individuals, everyone has a part to play.
That interconnectedness, it really hit home when we were talking about those attacks on the utility companies.
Sure.
Those services are so essential, a disruption could have a ripple effect through everything.
For sure. And those spear phishing attacks, they're a perfect example of how attackers can use human weaknesses to get into even the most critical systems. Technology alone can't solve this.
Speaking of technology, you mentioned zero trust security earlier. Could you explain that a bit more for people who might not be familiar with it?
Sure. Zero trust, it's a security model that assumes nobody and no device can be trusted automatically, even if they're already inside the network. It's about verifying every single request to access data or systems every time, no matter where it's coming from.
So instead of just assuming that anyone inside the company network is okay, you're constantly checking and making sure they're allowed to access things.
Exactly. It's about making the attack surface smaller by limiting access to only what each person absolutely needs to do their job. This can be really helpful against things like ransomware, where the attackers often move around inside a network after they get in, trying to find more valuable data or systems.
So it's like you're designing your defenses assuming that a breach has already happened or that it could happen any minute.
That's a good way to think about it. It's a shift away from that old castle and moat idea of security, where you're just focused on protecting the perimeter. Zero trust is more about having security built in everywhere, all throughout the network.
Makes sense, especially with how advanced these attackers have gotten. They often find ways to get past those perimeter defenses anyway, so having those safeguards inside is crucial.
And zero trust isn't just for big companies. It's a framework that any business can use, big or small. It's about being vigilant all the time, verifying everything, not just relying on technology to solve the problem.
That's a good point. It ties back to that idea of building a culture of cybersecurity awareness. And speaking of awareness, I want to go back to those FCC regulations for telecom companies. We talked about the potential political challenges and the concerns about how they'll be implemented. Are there any other downsides we should be thinking about?
Well, there are always potential downsides to any new regulations. One concern is that they could have unintended consequences. Like, if the rules are too specific, they could stifle innovation or put too much of a burden on smaller companies, making it harder for them to compete.
And on the other hand, if they're too vague or don't have any real enforcement behind them, they might not actually improve security.
Right. It's about finding that sweet spot, giving clear guidance, but also allowing for flexibility and innovation. Mm. And that's where working together, the government and the industry, that's where that becomes really important.
Yeah, they need to work together to make sure the regulations are realistic, that companies can actually put them in place, and that they actually achieve the goal of improving security without hurting growth and innovation.
Absolutely. Cybersecurity isn't a zero-sum game. We all benefit from a digital world that's more secure and resilient.
It's a shared responsibility, and we all need to work together to get it right.
Well said. And speaking of working together, I think it's time we move on to another critical part of cybersecurity, threat intelligence.
Ooh, yeah, threat intelligence. Sounds a little bit like something out of a spy movie, but it's actually a key part of staying ahead of these cyber threats, threat intelligence. Yeah, it does sound kind of like spy stuff, but it's actually really important for staying ahead of the bad guys, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about gathering information, analyzing it, and then getting that information out there to organizations so they can be proactive, defend themselves. You can think of it like an early warning system, but for the digital world.
So it's not just about, reacting after an attack happens, but trying to figure out what might come next and getting ready for it. Kind of like that proactive approach we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Threat intelligence, it helps organizations understand the attackers. Who are they? What are they after? How do they operate? Who are they targeting? And when you have that information, you can make better decisions about how to protect yourself, how to use your resources wisely.
It seems like there are like different levels of threat intelligence, right? You have open source reports that anyone can get, and then you have super secret stuff from intelligence agencies. How does all that fit together?
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of a multi-layered thing. At the most basic level, you have open source intelligence. That's stuff that comes from publicly available sources like news articles, security blogs, research papers. That kind of intelligence can be really useful for understanding the big picture, seeing what the overall trends are, identifying new threats that are popping up.
And then you have the more specialized intelligence, right? The stuff that security companies, industry groups, government agencies, the stuff they gather, that's where it gets a little more, cloak and dagger.
For sure. Those groups, they often have access to confidential sources, really sophisticated tools, and they have the expertise to track specific hackers and what they're doing. They might infiltrate hacker forums, analyze malware, even do undercover operations to get information. It's pretty intense.
Wow, it's like digital espionage. So then there's the question of sharing that intelligence. How does that work? You can't exactly tweet out top secret information about ongoing attacks, right?
Right. Sharing information is super important, but it's also a delicate balance. You don't want to reveal your sources or your methods, and you don't want to tip off the attackers about what you know. But at the same time, everyone's realizing that we have to be more collaborative if we're going to deal with these really sophisticated threats.
It makes sense. If everyone's just keeping their own little pieces of information secret, it's hard to see the whole picture, and it's hard to work together to defend against these attacks.
Exactly. That's why we're seeing more and more platforms and initiatives for sharing information, both within specific industries and across different sectors. These platforms let organizations share anonymized threat data, best practices, how to deal with different attacks. It helps everyone be more secure.
It's like a neighborhood watch, but for the digital world. If everyone's looking out for each other, it's harder for the bad guys to get away with anything.
I like that analogy. And just like in a real community, trust and collaboration are essential. Organizations need to be willing to share what they know openly and honestly without worrying about being judged or punished. And they need to be able to trust that the information they're getting is accurate and useful.
So building that trust is a big part of making threat intelligence actually work.
It really is. It's about understanding that we're all in this together, that cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. No one organization, no government can handle this alone. We need each other.
All this talk about threat intelligence and sharing information, it makes me think back to that Deloitte incident with BrainCypher. If companies were more open about the attacks they're facing, wouldn't that help everyone understand the threats better and figure out how to defend against them?
That's a great point. There's often a lot of hesitation to talk about breaches because companies are worried about damage to their reputation or legal problems. But when you don't talk about it, it creates this false sense of security. We can't really see how big the problem is if everyone's keeping it quiet.
It's like trying to fight an enemy you can't see. If you don't know where the attacks are coming from, who's behind them, what methods they're using, how can you actually protect yourself?
Exactly. More transparency would help us learn from each other's mistakes, share those best practices, and develop stronger defenses together. It would also make it harder for the attackers to get away with it and might even discourage them from attacking in the first place.
So it's a cultural shift we need. We need to realize that cybersecurity isn't just a tech issue, it's everyone's responsibility. And it requires openness, collaboration, being willing to learn from what works and what doesn't.
Well said. And as we wrap up our deep dive into cybersecurity, I think that's a really important message for our listeners to take away.
It's been an amazing journey, really eye-opening. We've explored all this complex stuff about ransomware, government responses, the importance of threat intelligence. I feel like I have a much better understanding of the challenges out there, but also the things we can do to be more proactive.
And remember, knowledge is power. The more we know about the threats we're facing, the better we'll be able to protect ourselves and create a safer, more resilient digital world.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and stay safe out there, everyone.